Blog Talk Radio.
Commentary on the Phillies last night. Okay, Pastor Leroy.
Pastor Leroy Jackson, man. I reside here in the Bronx, man. How you doing, Pastor Ken?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it was a rough night last night with them Phillies. It was a rough night. But you know what? It's like I said to you last night, man. For the Phillies to take two in Houston, it was going to be really difficult to do. So we'll see what happens. But my Philadelphia Eagles flew and soared high today. They're 7-0, baby.
Uh-huh. All righty. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I wonder how they did it. I didn't get a chance to watch them.
Yeah, they kicked their butts, man.
That's good.
Final score was 35-13. We beat Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. Did you listen to Kent's show today?
Yeah, I was on his show. He had me on the show, and something happened, and he just ended the show. He said, I got to go. I got something happening. Bye.
Wow.
And most of the time when the show was on, you couldn't even hear anything, man. It was like dead air for almost half the show. It's ridiculous. Very shadowy.
No
run,
music?
Man.
You didn't play any music, Harley?
No, he played some music early, and then there was like no talking. Like I came on for a little bit, and he just kept doing dead air. It was hard.
Huh.
It was like a nightmare show, man.
Wow, that's terrible.
You got any callers in there? How about Pastor Veal?
Patrick Veal call?
I don't know. Is he on there?
No, he didn't call. He didn't call him yet.
Oh, okay. I hope he does, because he called in on Kent's show. And again, just didn't get any time to even say anything, because Kent was running the show like it was a fifth grade class project or something, man.
Oh well. Hey, maybe they'll call in tonight. Maybe Pastor Kent will call in. Who knows? Or maybe Pastor Leroy will. Well, I got a sermon for tonight, and it's titled "Thank You, Lord, for Saving Me." Okay, so let's get into the message. I'll put you on mute while I deliver it, and then I bring you back on, and we can discuss it. How's that?
You got it. Sounds good, man.
All right. Amen. Here we go. All righty. Like I said, the message tonight is thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Okay? And it is a sermon about giving thanks to the Lord. So one of the first lessons in good manners we've ever learned is the answer to a question. What are you supposed to say? And the answer, of course, is thank you. So one of my kids was really little, and when my dad gave them a gift, I said, what are you supposed to say? The child said, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Yes, sir, proceeded to go down the list of every polite phrase they'd ever been taught. When he finally said thank you, I jokingly said, that took a while. When I apologized to my dad, he said, no apology needed. That just means he's learning his manners. Well, here in Luke chapter 17, we find the story of nine men who never learned that simple childhood lesson. For here we find the sad story of an unclean multitude, of unparalleled miracle, and an ungrateful majority. It is sad, the tale of ingratitude. Once it's a horror story of nine men who were within reach of heaven and, as best we know, died lost and went to hell with clean skin but a perfect soul. But today, I want us to focus on one man who turned around to simply thank the Lord for what he had done. As we examine his condition and the miracle he received from Jesus, I think you will see that the story is our story. And my prayer is that grateful response will also be ours. Notice give three things about this man. Your sickness that consumes. In the Bible, there were many pictures of symbols of sin, death, blindness, sickness, and they all have been used to picture losses. Each of them gives a little glimpse into some aspect of man's dreadful condition before God. But no picture is clearer than the disease of leprosy. Let me show you what I mean. A deadly problem. You see, leprosy was a terrible, dreadful disease. For starters, it devastated the body. The word leprosy means to strike or to smite. And these men were definitely smitten. Scaly white sores would appear around the eyes and mouth, opening, oozing, ulcerated sores would spread all over the body. Limbs, fingers, and toes would really rot off, ears, nose, and other appendages would fall off the body. A man might get out of bed and his arms stay on the bed. The foul stench of leprosy is said to have been detectable as far as a quarter mile away. Not to be unkind, but that's a body odor that right guard won't help, and secret won't touch. It would ultimately and eventually consume you from head to toe. It not only devastated the body, but it also dulled the senses. Nerve damage was a major factor in the disease. A leper could walk through fire and not know it. A leper could have an open wound and not feel it. Rodents would be drawn to the decaying flesh and could be eating on a leper and the leper would never know it. It not only devastated the body and dulled the senses, but it divided relationships. Highly contagious lepers were confined to a life of separation from friends and family. No goodnight kisses, no hugs, no family reunions, no worship services, just hanging around with all the lepers inside the leper colony. In Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, a leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, he shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp and demand his judgment. Levitical laws require a leper to show himself to the priest. The priest would examine and declare him unclean. Keep in mind the priest could not cure, but only condemn. A deadly problem, a desperate plea. Like Bartimaeus beside the Jericho Road, have mercy on me, man with a demonic son in Mark 9, you, if you can, have mercy on us. Like the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've never found a place in the Bible where someone sincerely asked Jesus for mercy, and he did not receive it. He is abounding in grace, he is limitless in love, and he is scandalously extravagant in mercy. In fact, when the Apostle Paul describes the wealth of God, he says in Ephesians chapter 2 that God is rich in mercy. Some are rich in land, God is rich in love. Some are rich in gold, God is rich in grace. Some are rich in cash, God is rich in compassion. Some are rich in money, God is rich in mercy. That's why we rightly sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. That's what these lepers are crying out for, as they shout, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If these men needed help, and which they did, they came to the right place. This is one of the greatest miracles of all time. In fact, no other miracle recorded saw 10 healed by one account. If you need a divine act on your behalf, you come to the right place when you come to the feet of the Lord Jesus. In Psalms chapter 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who loads us daily with benefits. An old song says, I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. He's still in the life transforming sin forgiving business. Psalms chapter 103, again, verses 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all of your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. This was not smoke and mirrors of a faith healer crusade. This wasn't a bottle of miracle water off a late-night television. And this isn't the sleight of hand of a modern-day charlatan. The Son of the Most High God put his power on display. If the story ended here, it would be one of the most greatest stories in the Bible. But the depth of the despair and power of the Lord Jesus are listed here too. Who the incredible mind-blowing wonder of their ingratitude? The sickness that consumes and the Savior that cleanses. in order to be placed back in your sight, you needed a word of confirmation from the priest. But Jesus had another reason for them to go out to see the priest. The timing of this miracle will set a dynamic contrast between the death determined by the law and the life that comes from Jesus. The prophetic motive, sell yourself to the priest. In Mark 1, Jesus cleansed the leper with a touch and a word. You remember that story? The leper said, if you are willing, you can be clean. And Jesus replied, I am willing, be cleansed. The purpose of that miracle was to picture sin and the willingness of Jesus to forgive any sinner and all sinners. Why? Because he is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But this miracle had the crucifixion in mind. The miracle was about bringing things to a head. In Mark 1, Jesus cleansed the leper and told him not to tell it. The man told it anyway, and Jesus had to go to the conclusion. His time had not come. Now it had. We are only two chapters away from the Lord's final trip to Jerusalem. Similarly, he will allow him to work on your behalf. God will use the difficulty in your life to put his own identity on display. The prophetic motive, show yourself to the priest, the practical means, and they were growing. Cleansing occurred as a result of responding to the word of God. Naaman was cleansed after he dipped seven times in Jordan. The man was born blind, was healed, he was washed. The woman with the issue of blood was healed when she touched the hem of the Lord's garment. These 10 lepers were healed as they went. Like these lepers, your miracle from God may be waiting just on the other side of wide and act obedience. Can you imagine what that was like? Did limbs grow back that had rotten off? Skin that had been dry and scaly was moist again? The skin had been open and oozing was smooth again? For the first time in perhaps a year, they were no longer leprous. Harry Ironside wrote, we will read in all of the Old Testament records of one leper being declared cleansed by the priest in 1500 years. And that priest must have wondered why that 14th chapter of Leviticus was in the Bible. It would naturally say, I've read the chapter over and over, but never had to apply it. But when Jesus came, things were different. One leper after another was sent to the temple of Jerusalem to be pronounced clean. And when he appeared before the priest, he was found to be healed of his leprosy. The bottom line is, when Jesus came, things were different. When Jesus comes in power, blind people start seeing, deaf people start hearing, lame people start walking, mute people start talking, dead people start living. Most importantly, lost people start getting saved. By examining the wonderful thing that happened to one man, we can learn something about the awful thing that happened to another 9 men. A public declaration. The first thing he does is publicly profess Jesus, and please notice this in a loud and lavish phrase. I heard a story about a pastor who had preached on baptism as a public profession of faith. He kept asking, don't you want to be baptized? One little girl came forward and said, I want to be baptized. So she may have been tongue-tied, but she wasn't all wrong either. While this man was not saved by his public confession, and while we are not saved by baptism, why would anyone not want to go public with Jesus Christ? So why would anyone stand with their lips together, and when the saints are singing, look bored of all the people of God are worshiping, as I mean, even warming when God is being praised? An ungrateful man is like a hog under a tree eating acorns, but never looking up to see where they came from. Someone said, if you want to find gratitude, look at the dictionary. But if you want to find ingratitude, look at these 9 men. To the extent this picture of salvation Christ is asking today, weren't there hundreds of people I have saved here at this church? Where are the other members? Surely, I have saved more marriages than this. Certainly, I have been better to you than this. I don't understand how I can do so much for many, and yet so few give me so little glory. I will tell you how. The other men, 9 men, did want cleansing of their soul, but merely wanted cleansing of their skin. They wanted the best life now. They wanted every day to be a Friday. And what they wanted was to get rid of their problem, to get back to their families, to get on with their previous lives. To them, Jesus was merely a means to an end. But Jesus will never be a means to an end. He will never be your good luck charm, a rabbit's foot, and get out of jail free card. The refusal to return to glorify Christ reveals that they've already gotten out of Jesus all they wanted from him. The 10 men got healed. 1 man got saved. This is by far greater of the 2 miracles. Think about it. If Jesus is your healer, but not your savior, you just go to hell after a long life. If Jesus is your provider, but not your savior, you will lead more to your errors when you die and go to hell. If Jesus is your comforter, but not your savior, you die in peace before a life eternally in torment. The timeline of the story is quite compelling. The 9 thankless lepers would have gone to the priest who would have been gone a lengthy process to declare them clean. According to Leviticus 14, they would take 2 birds, kill one, dip the live bird in the dead bird's blood. The leper would see the blood dripping from the wings of the bird, and he would understand the price of his cleansing. And the message would come to the leper, "I am clean because of the blood." 8 days later, the former leper would bring 3 lambs, 2 adult and 1 ewe, to the temple, and the priest began a rather elaborate process of slaying those animals to declare the leper clean. Because of the timeline and travel times, it is very possible that while the priest was offering a sacrifice to atone for the sins, that Jesus was on the cross of Calvary as a high priest offering, but one sacrifice for the sins of the world. So we cannot be sure about that, but at least we know that these men died, lost in their sins, even through the leprosy was cleansed. So the story, as tragic as it is, reminds us that a religion can call you clean. Only Jesus can make you clean. Amen? Well, without further ado, I'm going to do an altar call. And if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can do so now. And all you have to do is simply say this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God, who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the 3rd day. So I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen." Well, if you say that prayer, we would like to welcome you to the family of God, and we'd like to say, may the Lord keep you healthy and clean. Amen. All righty. And if you say that prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Press the 1 key. When you do that, you come on live and let us know that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. All righty. Well, maybe let's bring on some callers here. Let's bring back on Pastor Leroy. All right, Pastor Leroy.
Hey, you know what? One thing I forgot to say, I know you got other callers. I'll make this brief. I forgot to tell you on Kent's show, man. He told me that he doesn't like Halloween, man. He said that Halloween is a devil's holiday, man. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't celebrate Halloween, so I really never really have. So I really don't know. Okay, I know he has his things about Halloween. He thinks it's a double holiday and all the rest. And it can be. Okay, but like I said, I don't paint on my little kids want to dress up and trick or treat for candy, you know?
Do you give out candy?
I have in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. I don't understand him, man. He's a strange one, that dude. I'm trying to figure him out. I've done about 20 or 30 shows with him now, but I just can't. I can't figure him out, man. But anyway, if you got some calls,
yeah,
man, take it.
Yeah, I got some calls here. 210. Okay, who I got from 210?
All right, my dad recently passed away, and I think you may have known him. And I'm trying to figure out some things about his life. Can you maybe fill me in a little bit? There's a lot in his life that I don't understand a lot of, and I figured you knew him, so you might be able to talk about him a little bit to me. You mean a lot.
Who would that be?
My dad's name was Jimmy Pilkington. Do you know him?
No, I didn't know him.
Well, you had some experience with him, right?
Well, I knew his brother.
You knew his brother?
Yeah.
So my uncle? Jeez.
Oh, yeah, your uncle.
So
yeah.
What do you know about Jimmy, though? Like, what's your relationship with him? Because people have been telling me I should call you and ask you about Jimmy Pilkington.
Nothing really. He was dead already. Okay, when I met his brother. Okay, and I met his brother when I was in the army. I was doing tattooing at the time, and I was also in the military, and I tattooed his Jimmy's brother. I did his whole back.
And I think you bought a truck off of him or something.
Yeah, I bought a truck under Jimmy Pilkington's name. Yeah, I sure did. I used his ID to do that.
Oh, that's great to hear. You know, I'm sure he would have appreciated that back if he was still alive. Do you still have that truck? Because I would love to see.
It was considered a crime of taking property under false pretenses, and I had to pay restitution for the truck, but the dealership got it back.
Oh, damn. Well, thanks for taking my call, and maybe I'll reach out to a few more people, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
All righty. Well, let's take another call, 111. Okay, 111.
Eagle.
111.
Goodbye.
Okay, well, that was enough of that nonsense. Okay. Yeah, I heard. Hey, Madeline, why don't you call in, Madeline Mitten? Call into the show, 657-383-1487.
Where's Tony Farrar tonight? What's he doing?
He's watching TV.
He should come on.
Yeah,
the show.
He's watching TV.
On the show.
Hey, Tony, won't you come on? He's not listening to the show. Pastor Veal just came on to the chat room. Hey, Pastor Veal, call on in. We got Pastor Leroy here with us. All right. Well, if you called in the show, just press that one key and I'll bring you on. Let's see, 101.
Kenny, this is Madeline Mitten. How are you?
Hey, Madeline, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just, I wanted to call you to see if you wanted to come down to Big Spring, Texas at the Hotel Settles and finger my cunt hole.
Oh. No, that's okay, Madeline. No. I'm too old for that now.
Finger my cunt hole.
Nah, I'm too old.
Lick my hairy pussy.
Oh.
Well, I'm looking to make Kent Hopper jealous. I want you to lick my hairy cunt hole.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do that, Madeline. But thank you anyway. God bless you.
Have fun.
Okay. 111.
Hello, this is
Grover. Hey, Grover, how you doing?
I was calling to see if you can get me the number for Madeline Mitten. I'd be willing to perform those services for her.
Well, she's in Big Spring, Texas, Grover. Okay, you know what that is?
Did you take down a number?
No, it was a 111 number.
Well, let's have her call back and give me the number.
What are you saying?
Yeah, if she calls back in, I'll give you the number.
But I gotta go. I gotta deliver for. I got an Uber coming, and I gotta go to Big Spring. I gotta go. Bye.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Grover's on his way to you, Madeline. Man. It's in Big Spring, Texas. Okay. All right.
Jesus! Oh, don't do it! Don't do it, man! I gotta say, that Madeline Mitten. That Madeline Mitten, man, she's one nasty bitch, man.
Hi, I don't
hey,
know.
Hey, 111, you're on
the
air. Who do I have?
I don't think that was the real Madeline, but I would love to have sex with you, Kenny. I think you're sexy. I want to pull down your pants and suck your schlong. I bet it's real big, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you send me pictures of it in Discord?
What?
Can you send me pictures of your penis in Discord?
No, I can't. I don't know how to do that.
Well, you just take a picture of your cock and send it to me in Discord.
Well, who is this that I would send it to?
My name is Doug, but I'm not the alcoholic Doug. I'm just,
okay.
You know, a lonely guy in Discord, and I really want to see pictures of your penis.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't do that, Doug, but thank you anyway. God bless you.
Well, hang on.
Okay, that's enough of that. All righty. Well, we have Madeline Mitten talking about her hairy and vagina, and now we got Doug talking about wanting to see my penis. Well, that's a very interesting conversation of talking with the pastor. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't normally get that kind of conversation at my church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, what would you do if you did?
What's that?
What would you do if you did get that kind of conversation
well, you know
at
what?
Church?
Some people are just weird, man. I mean, that Madeline Mitten chick, man. Jeez. I mean, come on, man. Wow. I mean, you got to be real desperate, man, to want to bang that. You know what I'm saying? Or even get near it, let alone do it. Well, what I would do, you know, I've had problems in my church before, you know, with some of these little black kids walking around in there. You know, parents, they don't care, man. Just earlier today, man, I had this little kid was kicking my parishioners. I said, look, man. You keep doing that, I'm going to kick your ass out of here. I don't take any shit, man. I don't take any shit.
Yeah.
You know what? It's cool. It's all good, man. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, Tony Talk canceled his show tonight. Someone died in his family, so he can't do the show tonight.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know about that, but, you know, whatever, man. I think I think he's kicking shit out myself, but whatever.
Well, you never know. You got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, we'll pray for his family member that dies. And may he go through it well. Amen.
Were you going to call into his show?
I was gonna call into his show tonight, but he said he's not having a show tonight. So, let's bring on Pastor Veal. Pastor Veal pressed the one key. Let's bring him on. Hey, Pastor Veal. How you doing?
Hey, what a wild show. Was that Madeline Mitten who called in and asked you to lick her in her private places?
Yeah, that was Madeline Mitten.
What did Grover have to say? I thought I heard Grover call in.
Yeah, he said he would do it if they give him the number. Like, he said he was going to take an Uber to Big Spring, Texas.
No, well, I don't know. Are you considering having sex with Madeline Mitten?
No.
I was going to say, she's Kent's girl. You can't do that to him. I know you're mad at him, and you've been calling into his show and saying that you're mad at him for the past two Abba's houses or father's houses. I've heard you call in.
I didn't call in.
That's not what I heard.
Well, there was somebody playing a tape. It wasn't me. I didn't call it.
Are you sure it was a tape? Because you said shalom and hello, and then you threatened to kick Kent's ass.
Nope, wasn't me.
Oh, geez. Well, I'll just say that you aren't lying. Jenna Jameson, isn't that a porn star? She's in chat. Anyways, no, I don't know, Ken. Things have been weird recently. I've been getting contacted by, like, the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're upset at Kent Hopper. They're saying his show is anti-Semitic. They're going to cancel it. And they've been also, like, I got messages from people purporting to be from the Israeli government asking if you could go and talk about the car bombing that happened in Israel back in, like, 87. I don't know what that's all about. I've been getting just a lot of messages from a lot of random people on Discord. I don't know. What should I do?
Well, nothing, really. There's nothing you can do.
They said you had some connection to this car bombing that took place in Tel Aviv. Do you know anything about that?
Nah. Nope.
Well, you know it can be a dangerous place over there, so maybe it was just some violence.
I'm gonna bring on 720. Okay, is this Paulie?
Hey, what's up, Ken? How you doing?
All right, Paulie. How you doing?
Oh, I'm chilling, man. Eagles won, Phillies won, or lost yesterday, but won game one, so. I'm good. How you been, man?
Okay, yeah, tied up 1-1. And they're going back to Philly to play three more, so, I mean...
Three more?
The Phillies could win the series.
Yep. How's your cancer?
Say what?
How's your cancer? Did that go away? I haven't talked to you in a minute, man.
Yeah, my cancer has been all cut out, and I've been treated for it, and it's gone away.
Do you think you got that drinking the water in the Army, or?
Well, that would have been the Marine Corps when I was stationed in Camp Lejeune for a while, but I don't know. Okay.
You were in the Marine Corps?
I wasn't in the Marine Corps. I was in the Navy. Okay, but I was stationed in Camp Lejeune for a while.
I thought you said you were in the Army, like, earlier.
Yeah, I was in the Army, too. I was in the Army and the Navy.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Then why'd you mention the Marine Corps, too?
Because the Marine Corps is the base I was stationed at Camp Lejeune.
Ah.
So you think that water messed you up?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. It could be, could not be.
I met some people that drank that water, have losses going and all that. The kids usually turn out vegetables. Your kids aren't vegetables, are they?
No.
Okay, well that's good. That's good. I'm glad that went away, man. That's good stuff, man. Cancer's a son of a bitch, so.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And if I can just quit smoking, I'll be doing good.
Where's Pastor Ken at?
Ah, he quit.
He quit.
Yeah, he quit. He stopped calling.
He stopped serving you coffee?
I never served him coffee. That's the problem.
No, he served you coffee.
No, he never served me coffee either. No.
Anyway.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought that you served him coffee at one point and you ordained him, or he ordained you or something. It was like the opposite way around. You served him coffee at the Mount St. Mary's College.
No, I never served him coffee. I never met Pastor Kent in real life.
Well, what's that picture? Discord. There's
it was an imposed picture.
That looks like a real picture to me.
Kent said he lost 100 pounds there, Ken.
Is that what?
Kent said he lost 100 pounds. This is a big guy.
I don't know.
No,
he was a big guy one time. That's why I hear. Okay.
I wonder if he went to the dentist to get those bulldog teeth fixed, man.
I don't know.
Ken, I heard that Kent was trying to hit you up earlier this week, trying to get you to send him nudie pictures. Is that true?
Who?
Kent Hopper was hitting you up on Discord this week, trying to get pictures of your junk. Is that true? Somebody told me that.
Kent, in my eyes, is not a fucking pastor. That guy is, I don't know, I heard some stuff about him. I don't like him.
He calls himself a poon hound, and he was on Twitter for a while, and he was waving his penis around for any chick that would give him any shred of attention, and now his wife, he's dating his wife, and he called her stupid. It was wacky. I don't know what's up with that man sometimes. That
Where's Tony
okay.
F at?
He's watching TV.
He's watching TV?
Yeah. I don't know what he's watching, but he's watching TV.
You all right there, man?
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah.
All right. I just heard, like, breathing in the phone.
Yeah, that was me. My COPD.
Oh.
Ken, I have a serious question. Do you find Pastor Kent attractive?
No.
But he's your coworker. No. You should at least find him a little bit attractive.
No. Don't find him attractive whatsoever.
Oh, man.
Do you find him attractive?
No, I don't because I'm straight. But how did you meet Pastor Kent? How did you meet him?
I never met him personally. I just met him on the radio.
Well, how did you first meet him? Like, not in person, but just online. How long ago?
I met him back in, 2015 on Facebook.
Oh, how did you guys meet each other on Facebook?
I don't know. He sent me a friend request and we just started talking, and then he told me about he had a radio program and that he would like me to come on. So I went on a radio program and we were in ministry together back then, and then he decided to flake out, and he never called back into the radio ministry, so I kept it and paid for it, and kept on going from there.
Continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, my bad, my bad. I was just going to say, Ken, are you still talking to Rosie?
No. No, I haven't talked to her in years.
Oh, really? How'd you meet her?
Yeah.
Was that when you were deployed, or?
She what?
Did you meet her when you were deployed? She's from
No,
Florida.
I never met her. No. No.
No?
Never met Rosie. Wait a minute, let me bring on another caller here from 501. 501, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Hi, do you ever know a guy named Dick Nolan?
Yeah, that was my adopted dad.
Oh, okay. Did he ever call the cops on you?
I don't know. He might have.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something related to...
I don't know what he was about, so I don't know.
Stolen property, but okay.
No, I never stole any property from Dick Nolan.
Okay. Did you ever do drugs for doing tattoos?
I did drugs in the past. I did cocaine. I've done quarters, speed. I've done all kinds of drugs when I was a kid. Okay, I don't do them anymore.
Okay. I was just curious if you like did guys tattoos for drugs.
No, I did tattoos, but I didn't do it for drugs. I did it for cash.
Dick Nolan make the Batman movies?
Okay.
He made the Batman movies, right?
No.
Well, I thought that was Dick Nolan who directed those movies, like The Dark Knight Rises and movies like that.
Nah, well, that's the wrong Dick Nolan. Dick Nolan I knew, his name was Richard, okay? And he went by Dick for short.
Richard Hopper?
No, Richard Nolan.
Oh, man, who's Dickie Hopper?
Dickie Hopper is Ken's brother.
Oh, and he calls in all the time, right?
Yeah, the echo calls, yeah.
That's
that guy's kind of
set up.
Well, anyway.
Hey, Ken,
okay,
Ken, real quick. Yo, Madeline Minton just sent me a message. It said, go to BigMaddie.com. Can you open it? I'm out by my browser. Can you open that up real quick? Tell me what that is.
No, I can't open it up.
You can't open it up?
I can't open it up.
Just click on the link, Ken. I'm sort of curious what's in it, too.
There's probably naked pictures of her.
Well, if you got a chair, you're probably proper gut up. That is nasty. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a big, nasty woman there.
Ken, would you?
How much would they have to pay you for you to dive in?
Huh?
How much would you have to get paid for you to go down on Madeline?
There's no money in the world that I would do it for.
I don't believe that. Money is everything.
No.
Ken, when did you come out as gay?
When did I come out as gay? say back in 2000 and I don't know, I actually came out and admitted it, I was gay.
No, when did you have like your first gay experience? Like, when did you realize you were gay? Because a lot of people stay in the closet for a while.
Well, I've had gay relations throughout my life, okay? But I didn't start living as actual gay person, okay, until 2005 when I met Tony.
Oh, well, did you have sex with any other guys before then? I'm sorry, that's an ungodly question, but I'm just curious about you, man.
Oh, yeah, I had sex with guys. Yep, I had sex with Dan Garza. Okay. Okay, a couple others.
Was Doug one of them?
Who?
Doug.
No.
Was Dick Nolan ever your lover?
Oh, my bad.
What'd you say?
Was Dick Nolan ever your lover? I'm just curious.
He was a sexual experience I had, okay, before he adopted me.
Okay. All right.
Why did he? That's sort of... Ken, forgive me for saying that's a little bit weird, that a man like your age, you had a sexual experience with him and then he adopted you? What? Like, that's sort of wild.
Yeah, well, I was young back then, you know, okay? See, when I first met Dick Nolan, I was 16.
I'm sorry if I sound like I'm being an ass. That's just sort of confounding to me that... he would do something with him, and then he would adopt you. Yeah, that just makes me feel a little bit weird.
Yeah, for your... little... What's that serial killer's name who did that shit?
Jeffrey Dahmer?
No, I think it was Egeen.
I don't know. I just... No disrespect, but...
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer, too, yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer ate people.
Would you ever eat a
person? Yeah, Egeen had the young boys over or whatever.
Hey, he'd mutilate their corpses, man. That guy's messed up.
Well, anyway, okay, I'm going to end this show early. Okay,
man. Don't end it early. Come on, let's shoot the shit, Ken.
Yeah, I'm
playing the
show.
A couple more.
Okay, come on.
I don't want to wait till next Sunday. Come on.
Ken, we're shooting the breeze.
Come on, man. It's just the boys here. Sitting here shooting the shit.
Yeah, but there ain't nothing really we're shooting the shit about.
All right. Are you or Tony going through gender reassignment surgery?
No.
Would you ever that?
No.
Do you ever feel like you were born a woman?
You wouldn't take hormones?
No, I'm not interested in gender reassignment surgery.
How do you feel about those hormone pills?
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I don't take them.
You don't take them?
I don't take them.
Have you ever wanted to take them?
No, I never wanted to take them. Anyway, I'm ending this conversation. Good night, guys. Love you all. God bless. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.
Right, come on, Ken.
Please, come on. Don't end it.
Yes, I'm ending it.
Hey, what did you do in the Army? What?